through sincerity, thank you for your presence today. Very glad that you're here for many reasons. And want to mention a thing about Bob and the passing of his wife, just a moment. I had presented a few misgivings to you in regard to the family, nothing real terrible, but I was greatly impressed with the funeral and the family, and I feel much more comfortable about that situation than I did. Two of the young men preached the funeral, and one of them preached the best funeral sermon I'd ever heard, and that takes in a lot, because I told him afterwards, I said, I've attended a lot of funerals, I've preached a lot of funerals, I've heard a lot of funerals preached, but that was the best thing I ever heard. So he had a lot to work with. She was a tremendously fine lady. And I've just mentioned that, and we're hoping to go see Bob Thursday, and if you want to send him a card, we'd be glad to deliver it to you in regard to that. Bob, his son told me, but he told him about her death, and of course, he took that, and about 10 minutes later, he had forgotten it. And they did not feel like he was able to make that trip, and I don't know what kind of shape he's in, but I'd be glad to deliver that for you if you want to do that. I think Bob has been one of the greatest workers for the Lord that I've ever known, and of course, that's had a great effect upon my life and my preaching, of course. And I hope that, I know many of you did not know him as we did, and therefore the situation is somewhat different. Today I'm talking about a subject that you heard me talk about before. I'm not preaching on it. I've tried preaching on it for 45 years and hadn't worked. I just want to reason with you about it. I'm going to try my best not to preach. If I get to preaching, if you'll kind of frown, I'll try to stop preaching. I really feel like that all of us, including myself, number one, need to look at some things and what we can do to help save ourselves and save the congregations of the Lord's church, not the Lord's church. Because the Lord's church will stand forever. We've got God's guarantee of that in Daniel 2 and verse 44. And so this morning I'm talking about one thing. Tonight I'm adding five more, so bring your sleeping pillows and stay with me, but we'll try to cover five more. But I do believe that until we straighten out in our own thinking, every one of us, what we're teaching in the area of by example and by our families and by all our friends and our own conduct, what we're teaching about assembling or attendance, unless we all can do a better job, it's going to bring about the demise of many congregations. Friday night, my wife and I attended a singing to Bethel Church of Christ. On the board, there was, of course, 18 last Sunday morning. And then on Sunday night, there was 9. And on Wednesday night, there was 9. Now, I wanted so badly to ask somebody, was it the same 9? Outside in the foyer, there was a picture of the church building that they built. Nan can straighten this out. I get this mixed up. I think it's about 50 years ago. But there was 300 people there. And there were still faithful people at that congregation. I know that because their contribution was over $600. And their budget was over $600. What I'm saying to you is that some way or another, not just us, but the religion of the United States has gotten into such a state, and this is absolute truth, I can prove it to you, that unless you entertain them or pay them or reward them, there is not enough reason for them to come with any faithfulness. And I want to talk to you about that. First, I want to point out to you that the Bible says in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah in verse 18, come, let us reason together. That's what we're going to do. I wish you had time to go into that chapter. Israel was in a bad way. And they said, come, let us reason together. That word reason, of course, means to thoroughly discuss. That's what the word means. It's used four times in the Scriptures. Twice is in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, when the Bible says that Paul reasoned at Corinth. And then it says that Paul reasoned at Ephesus. But probably the best known one is Acts 24:24, when Paul reasoned with that audience that included the Roman governor. And of course, Paul reasoned with him concerning righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. It is my firm conviction that if a business cannot solve its attendance problem, it will go out of business. My uncle ran a paving business. Paving is not easy work. He was paying his men on Thursday night. So many of them were drunk and not coming on Saturday. He made a rule they would pay no more on Thursday night. They would not get paid to the end of the week. He could not keep his group together, and that therefore he could not perform. When I went into the school teaching business, I realized that we had a problem. And nearly everybody that had a problem learning had a problem attending. You can't teach them if they're not there. It's impossible. I was glad when they passed the law, I don't know whether they still got it or not, if you missed 20 days unexcused, you repeated the grade irregardless of what your grades were. I thought it was a fair grade, fair thing, and a lot of people didn't. I talked to a good lady that you know about her son missing 87 days the year before, and I said, if this happens again, he will not pass. She pulled him out of where I was principal and sent him somewhere else. Attendance is business, and attendance in school or anything else is the key, one of the keys, and that's the reason I'm spending a whole day reasoning about that, but you can't solve all the rest of them until you solve that one. I learned a long time ago that you ought to be faithful in attendance to your doctor. Now, the reason I learned that, I watched y'all go, and y'all kept yourself healthy, and I've had to go a little bit myself lately. But if you never go when you need to go, he cannot bribe you or help you do anything. So I want to think with you to reason about why did God make it so? Why did God just give us a command not to forsake the assembly? Was it because he wanted us to be bothered and lose something? Or was it because he wanted us to gain something? When you look at that, number two there is that study is lost. Now that goes back to my school teaching. Study is lost. Did you ever try to teach children who came every third day? Or did you ever try to teach children who never came on Friday? We had children in school. When I was in high school, I knew them well. They never came on Friday. They took the day off. And so I don't know how they did. I always went to school. The reason I did, I had a good hot lunch. I had a good warm building. And I had a few friends. And if I was at home, I'd been cutting wood, packing water, milking cows, and fixing fences. That's what I'd been doing. I'd rather be at school. I told y'all the story that me and Miller Frost ran a dairy for a widow lady when her part of her family got sick for 2 weeks. And I promised myself, I said, Lord, if you'll get me out of the dairy running business, I will go to school. And that's what made me go through school. And so I think we see here that there is a reason for it. Study is lost. You cannot keep the continuity. And I know there are good, faithful people in all congregations, and many of you don't need this. Number three, the example is lost. You know, you have to set the example. If the teacher doesn't come, or if the teacher arrives when the class is half over, you got a problem. I was glad when they made a rule that if you didn't get to your classroom three times in a week, that you were reported to the superintendent. We had one made that rule. That helped out, you know. You can't do what you're not present to do. And then, of course, you fail to edify. You cannot edify. The Bible says that we ought to follow things to edify one another. And when you study about this, for the church to function, it's got to assemble. You ever stop thinking about that? If there's no assembling, there is no congregation. If there's no assembling, there's no congregation. And Ephesians 3:21, the church cannot glorify the Lord, that the church might present the glory to God. If the key to the church is teaching the lost and the saved, and there's no teaching happening, you can do all you want to build up attendance. We could get a big crowd here tonight. All we would have to do would to get two of you young men to put your grimaces here in front of us and put up the charts and say, we're going to have a wrestling match tonight. These two men you know are going to wrestle it out. And I guarantee if we advertised it well, we'd have more people than if we advertised we're going to preach the gospel. Now, I don't understand why that's true. Of course, there was a time when I watched wrestling. In fact, I walked from Gullisville to Shackleton, Gullisville a time or two, but I learned better. Farmer Brown set that rooster over on the side of that thing with his Gallus overalls, and I thought that was one of the greatest things in the world. Now I think it's one of the stupidest things you can think of. But you can draw a crowd by setting the gun place on fire. They set it on fire yesterday. They stopped it up. There's about 15 or 20 things, different vehicles there. They stopped up the highway. You can get a crowd. But that won't help the Lord's church if they don't come together to study and to teach and to learn. Why? It's the lifeblood. We ought to know that. You cannot make a member of the Lord's church to save your life unless you teach them the Word of God. I won't say this until you know it. Luke 8:11. The seed of the kingdom is the Word of God. In fact, the church of Christ is the only thing you can grow if you produce the pure seed and nothing else and plant nothing but the pure seed. You can't get a Catholic church by planting the New Testament. I could go along further if you want me to. You can't get a Baptist church. Give me book, chapter, and verse. You can't get a Presbyterian church. You can't get a Methodist church. You can't get it. You've got to sow something in additional to the Word of God. Our children need to know that. They need to know that. Our grandchildren need to know that. And we need to do a better job of that. And then, of course, you cannot really be satisfied with yourself and have first place power unless you as a Christian believe in putting the kingdom first in your time. You don't attend the worship service of the church faithfully. The kingdom's got to come first in your time. That doesn't mean you don't miss. You're going to miss some. Everybody is. But it does miss that everybody knows that if you're not at worship or Bible study, there's something greatly important going on in your life. It's not just a ball game. It's not just a headache. It's not just company dropping in. You're going to be there. My mother and father never had a problem of people coming in and keeping them from going to worship service. My daddy, we've had a few to come from Lewisburg, and my daddy would tell them, we're going to worship. We'd like for you to go with us. If you don't want to go with us, we'll be back in about 2 hours. Sit right here and entertain yourself. But you know, for the slightest of reasons, people miss what they don't want to go there. And so you've got here, first place power, you know you're doing right. And then giving is lost to some. I'm glad that most people in the Lord's church recognize if they're not here, they're still supposed to lay by in store either next week, the week before, or to help. You're still supposed to give if you're not here. But we know that that would be lost to some because they realize that they don't have to give. They think they don't have to give because they're not here. But the Bible says, let every one of you lay by himself in store upon the first day of the week, that there be no gathering when I come. It also says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You don't have trouble with that. You don't get much of corn crop if you don't plant much seed. My daddy planted 7 grains of corn in every hill. And he had a thing he went through, two for the crows, one for the earthworm. And I said, Daddy, why do you do that? Well, back then, you know, you saved your own seed. It didn't cost you, and you can't do that. Now, you'll go broke buying your seed. But then we went through, and we pulled out everything that was, when it got about that big, we pulled it out. And so, but you cannot grow except sparingly if you go that sparingly. Prayer is weakened. Now, prayer is weakened for two reasons. Acts 5:12, the prayer was offered without ceasing by the church. And the Bible very plainly teaches, and we'll get to that scripture if time permits, that Matthew 18:19, you know Matthew 18:20 says, where two or more gather together my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Verse 19 says, if any two of you agree on anything on this earth, and you ask in prayer, you shall receive. Of course that means if it's in harmony with the will of God, but it does mean it's stronger. Prayer is strengthened by that. And of course your light's dim. Matthew 5:16-17, your light's dim. I come in last night, I think it was. My wife said, look there at the kitchen, the lights are real dim. And I knew I was in trouble. So I looked over there in the kitchen, and I didn't see nothing. And she said, it's that bulb on the right side. Well, the bulb on the right side is the hardest one to get to. You've got to use this one. But I got the chair and risked my life, climbed up on top of it, took the bulb out and put the bulb in. One more bulb made a difference in the light in that kitchen. You know that's the way it is in the Lord's church. One more person in assembly and Bible study makes the light a little bit brighter. And so here it was, and the light's dim. Your example will be faulty. If everybody attended just like I attend, how would the attendance be? I'm amazed at people. They mow their yard all day Wednesday and miss Wednesday night worship. I'll always be amazed. I tell them I'm amazed at them. If Bible study is not important than mowing your yard, I ain't got a brain. I can't think. I don't understand. The one sin that bothers me more than the other as a preacher, and I know this, I can't know how tired you are, how sick you are, and how badly you're needed at home. That all comes down to your own. You've got to know that. But the light is dimmed and the example is faulty. When and why do we assemble? We don't assemble just to meet friends, do we? I know we don't assemble to show off clothes. This group, I'm just amazed at you. I outdress all of you. We don't do that. We don't come here for that. We don't come here for entertainment because I know good and well. I don't. If you're not entertaining the Word of God, you won't be entertained because that's what we have in Bible classes. We have in here. So we don't do that. But Acts 27 said upon the first day of the week, the church assembled to break bread. Also says that Paul preached to them. It also says that he preached to midnight. I don't think you'd want us to maybe follow that example to the exact degree there. It also says that one of them went to sleep during the assembly. Now, we can handle that. And it also says that he fell out the window in the second floor and there he was dead. That could happen, but it's not quite that far to down there. But anyway, it also says that Paul went down and took him up, brought him back to life. Now, they assembled. Why did they assemble? Lord's Supper. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, you do show forth the Lord's death till it come. What do you show forth? Well, lots of time we get together, we pull out our pictures and we show them. Look at these pictures. And we all are very much interested. You pull out yours, your grandchildren, and I always wish I had some. I don't care, but I wish you do. Wait a minute. Now I want to show you something that's more important than that. What do you show forth? You show forth the Lord's death till it come. What would be more important than showing forth the Lord's death? If you can name me one thing, I'll give you a $10 bill. I ain't got it. I'll borrow it from my wife. There's nothing more important. And you examine yourself, and that's highly important. You, Acts 20 and 28, the elders were told to feed the church of Christ, which he purchased, church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Did you think they expected the elders to go from house to house to feed people? No. No, they didn't expect that. They expect them to feed them when they came together. And if you read that context, it's talking about, you could feed them from house to house, but it's talking about in assembly. Now, my mama always insisted that we come together and eat supper together. Now, breakfast was a deal. She got up at 5 o'clock, prepared breakfast every morning. But you went in and you got your breakfast whenever you got up. But we had a meal together. And if you weren't there, Mama was going to find out why you weren't there. That went on for years, even after she expected that, after some of them got married. I mean, that she won't know where you were. Now, we have people miss meals all the time. It's not a physical meal. It's a meal of the Word of God. They miss it. And the Bible teaches that they have to be fed. 1 Peter 5:2, of course, the Bible says the elders were charged to feed the church. And then, of course, why do we assemble? Because we meet somebody that's highly important. Highly important. What's the most important person you've ever met in your life? I've gone to meet a few important people in my life. Been very disappointed after I got there. Made a trip to do it and was not too much impressed about it. But truly, you and I come to meet with the most important person on earth and in heaven. And of course, that's to meet with Jesus. Where can you be sure you meet with Jesus? Can you be sure if you go to a ball game or to a school assembly? There's not but one place on God's earth that you can take the Bible and guarantee you're going to meet with Jesus. Where two or more are assembled together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. That's the only place on God's earth. Now it does say in Matthew 28:20, if you follow all those, what the commission is, and you go and teach all nations, lo, I will be with you always to the end of the world. That's those who are carrying that message. And then, of course, you wonder why there's sadness in your life. Maybe you're listening to too much news. Won't you be glad when this election is over? I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. I don't even try to listen to it. I wish they'd make a rule that you could not report anything that happened to a young child but once a week on television. I don't want to hear five times, and I know I ought to and pray about it, but I still don't want to hear about some little girl that's been snatched and murdered. Where can you go and find gladness? You go to the doctor, you don't find much gladness. You sure don't. And you go to, but the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, come and let us go up to the house of the Lord. Some way or another, that's got to be true of us. Now I want to follow the part that you don't have, but you can listen and have it. And I want to ask you this as we go. What is the conclusion of all these things? Number one, if you follow Christ, if I follow Christ, I ask myself this. If I follow Christ, where will I be in the morning? Well, if I follow Christ and I got a job, I'll be on the job, I think. I think you will be too. If I follow Christ and I've got children to look after, responsibility there, I'll be meeting that responsibility if I follow Christ. But did you know that here's what it says? I'll read it to you because I don't want to preach it. I want to read it. Luke 9, and the Bible says, verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. Jesus said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. I doubt if there is not a very few of us who would not consider this sufficient reason to miss an assembly. I wouldn't. And I haven't. And I don't plan on it. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell to them which are at home at my house. I don't think we much have that problem anymore. I'm glad to get out of here, you folks. I'll see you when I can. We didn't bid them too much farewell when we left them. But this was a problem. And the Bible says, in fact, they thought it was an affront if you didn't do that. Jesus said to them, no man having put in his hand to the plow and looking back. Anybody here plowed with a plow, a mule? I didn't think you had. One of the most dangerous things in all the world to do is not to climb a tree that you might fall out. It's not to even play with a gun. One of the most dangerous things in the world to do is take a bull tongue plow, and you don't know what that is, but it's one that was shaped like this, and it's got a blade in front of it. And you take that thing, and you get it like this with the best grip you can. And if you don't get it the best grip you can, you're going to get an awakening. And you go out through there, and guess what it does when it hits a root? It either cuts it or it throws that thing up under your chin. Now, can you imagine a man going out through there with that plow? And by the way, that's about the only kind they had. And the plow, and here it comes, and you're looking back. You don't see it coming, and your head is half taken off. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for what? What does it say? For the kingdom of God. A lot depends upon assembly. I want to remind you of this. The Lord's Supper depends upon assembly. In fact, we have no command or example anywhere else except at the assembly. I don't think it's wrong to take the assembling home to people. I think that's all right. But if I were absent from the assembly, unless it was for a long period of time, and I could get people to come and have an assembly with me that included some other things, I think I would not depend on that. Because the Lord's Supper, every time it's mentioned in the Scriptures, is mentioned as a part of the assembly. 1 Corinthians 11, read it. Acts 20 and 7, read it, and you'll find it. And the Bible says, this do in remembrance of me. And then, of course, it is the basis for the budget of the Lord's church. What is the basis, really, if you took it for the federal government's budget? You may not know it. It is the income tax. Does the government have a time and an order of collecting that? If you hadn't found out, you will. It's kept the government operating. The Lord's business is you can go out and give around, and you do, we need to individually, but the Lord's business of the church is based upon coming together and giving as we've been prospered each Lord's day. And the same is true of feeding. And the same is mentioned of prayer. And then, of course, it is a proof. It is a proof, if you attend faithfully, one proof, it's not the only proof, it's a proof that you put the Lord's church first. Did you know you can't really have singing as you ought to, except in assembly? There's no place, and I'm not against solo singing if you're out by yourself. I am against solo singing in the Lord's church. I don't read where that's what you ought to do. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:12, in the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto thee. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, be not drunk on wine which were in excess, but we be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, that's all of you, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, you can't do the other unless you do it. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. Teaching and admonishing one another, it says. And we do that in singing. Singing depends upon assembly. Now I want to make this very point. There are certain things in life that nobody can do for you. And here is really where it comes to reason. Who can solve my problem of attendance? Well, if I'm of age, now, children, just be solved, because we do that. And when we had the school law, we had to go about after the people that got them there. And so here we are in the Lord's church. Who can solve our attendance problem? Let me tell you something. There's no way on God's earth that you can tell if I'm too sick to come to worship. Now, I know you can say, well, you can't get off the bed and you die. I don't mean that kind of situation, but in any kind of normal situation. I can't know if you're too sick to come to worship. I can't know that. You can't know if I'm too sick. I can say this, and I've said it 1,000 times. If you can go anywhere, you can go to worship. If that's wrong, somebody be kind of meet the back door and say, no, that's not true. You can go fishing. You can go eat. You can go sleep. But I can't know. Number two, I can't know if you've got pressing business with your family that's urgent enough. That's the reason it's left up to the individual. And the only person that can solve that attendance problem then is not, I can't solve your attendance problem. I can solve mine. I can solve mine, and I have for more than 50 years. But I can't solve yours. No way on God's earth. Your husband can't solve it. Your wife can't solve it. Your children can't solve it. But you can solve it when you decide that you want to be there and you intend to be there. And you still will be absent some. You know, there's a story of the prodigal son. He's like some of us sometimes. He went off into a far country and he wasted what God had given him. Isn't that the way we do? God's given me 76 years. 76 years. I'm proud of one fact. I've never missed assembly of the church I ought to have been at. I'm proud of one fact. And I will hope and pray that I can challenge you not to brag on me, but to think about that. Well, here was the prodigal son. He wasted his substance. And the Bible says when he came to himself, that's what we're trying to do. When he came to himself, not when he came, when he came to himself. And here he was in the pig pen eating hog slop. And that's where a lot of our members are. They're in the pig pen eating hog slop when they could be feeding on the Word of God. And so here they are. And he said, in my Father's house, there is much more in despair. And I perish with hunger. Don't you know you're starving to death for the fellowship and food that God offers you, for prayer and the Lord's Supper, for the encouragement of others? He said, I will arise. Nobody came after him. God didn't send nobody. His brother hoped he wouldn't come home. I will arise and go to my Father. Now, I'm going to rise and go to my Father, and you're going to rise to go to your Father. That's as true a statement in the Word of God. I'm going to rise to go. Jesus said in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. The devil don't assemble and attend worship. He just don't do it. And the works of the Father you will do. And so, there it is. And so, and I will say to my Father, I have sinned and fallen short. You know, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And if the church ever, and I'm not against visiting, I'm not against encouraging, I'm not against almost pulling them there, but the church will never solve its attendance problem till each individual decides solve their own. Then it'll be solved. It'll be over forever. And that's the reason I'm trying not to preach to you, because I want you to try to do all you can. I know you want to. We let things get in our way. We intend to do much better. But if this church and this congregation is going to work and survive in the sense of being here as congregations, it will be because we have decided that we're going to support it to the very best of our ability. I hope you thought with me on this, and I hope you hadn't thought it was bitter. It's not. It's just the fact that I realize wherever I go that the church is in a bad way attendance-wise. Where I go now, they've taken the attendance off the boards that ever work. Taking attendance off the board. And someone said, it's not necessary to put the attendance off. No, it's not necessary. Why would you take it off? Not necessary to put the contribution up there. Why would you take it off or put it on? But and it's every congregation I am aware of has about half that come to the evening services. Does the Lord only come to the Sunday morning service? 17, 8, and 8. 200. 100. 100. 600. Now you're getting a bad problem. 600. I went to ones that had 120. 600, 120. 600, 120. Do you think that I could logically say as a human being that four-fifths of that congregation could not make it to an evening worship? I heard of eldership not too far from here. They got together and said, it's worrying us to death. We cannot get, no matter what we do, one half of our attenders to attend faithfully. If that was General Motors, it'd go broke tomorrow. If that was the school at Greenbrier, they'd close it in a week. Stated close it. You don't worry about anybody else. The Lord's church needs to take a look. And it all begins with me looking and you looking. But it starts here. That doesn't end it. Sitting in the church house won't make you a hen house, won't make you a hen. And sitting in the church house won't make you a Christian. But I do believe that the things which I've mentioned start here. If you're not a Christian, I hope you've thought about it and want to become one. It's a great calling. But you have to be willing to put the church first. Yes, you'll miss some assemblies, but you won't forsake them. You won't forsake them. You'll miss them. You can't help it. And you can come confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of your sins, being baptized, and therefore be a member of the Lord's kingdom and saved. If you hear and you sinned in any way, and of course attendance is a public sin, you could miss it, and you confess that and ask for the prayers, you'll be forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We all need to do all we can to get each other ready. But we need to all first to get ourselves ready. You can do that. You can't get the rest of them. If you need to, do it now while together we stand and while we sing.